Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the homebrew meeting tonight for the month of August. And I just like to thank everybody for coming out. And just, you know, it's just a blessing to have everybody come out and open up the Word of God and just kind of share and just fellowship. Amen. I like to kind of continue on with what I was talking about last month. And I kind of laid out a little roadmap last month, and there's three things that God must work in our life and bring us to a certain point. And so last month we looked at sin. Amen. Remember that? We looked at sin. Romans 6:14 says that sin shall not have dominion over you. This is God's intention. So we must come to a place where God can get us to stop sinning. Wow. Now that preaches in a lot of churches. But I will tell you that we sin because we like to sin. And you know, it's kind of amazing that there's no sin that we could ever commit that we haven't first thought about that. Every time we sin, we always have thought about that, and then we've taken it step by step until it turns into a sin. But that was last week, and so that roadmap is, you know, today we're going to go ahead and we're going to look at I'll go ahead and read my little note here. It says, we must come to a place where we in God truly believe that God loves us and God is with us. Most Christians do not believe that, believe it or not. Most Christians do not really believe that God loves them and that God is with them. Oh, they say they do, but you know, most Christians are kind of caught up in a lot of church activities and stuff like that. But it takes experiences that they have in their life, experiences that we will go through, God's dealings and judgments in our life that will be able to bring us to a place to where we will understand that God is really, really with us. And now, again, I'd like for you to open up your spirit here, amen? For you to be able to understand what I'm going to say, because I teach by the Spirit, you have to open up your spirit. Who has John 6:63?
Right here.
Okay.
It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life.
Amen. So that's Jesus talking there. Jesus says, the words that I speak is spirit and life. So if you don't get anything, and anytime you're at church, if you don't get the message by the Spirit, then you never ever get it. The only way you can get the things of God is not up here in your mind. The way we get the things of God is in our spirit, because the words that are spoken are spirit and in life. And so we must understand them by the Spirit. So I would ask that you open up your spirit tonight, because this is going to be one of those messages where you got to open up your spirit and get that. Amen?
Amen.
Oftentimes we don't believe God is with us, or God really loves us, because we really can't see Him. You know that, Randy? A lot of times we don't see Him. And I remember when I was growing up, we have four children, and I remember one day I took our two oldest right there, David and Daniel. You know, they're little kids, they're about that big, and I took them to a park one day, you know, and there was this big tree right here. And so anyways, there were these swings, and I put them on these swings, and I was behind them, and I started pushing them. I push Dave, and I push Dan, and I push him, and I would push him, you know, and they'd wee, they'd go up, wee, oh, and they would say, oh, Dave, Daddy loves us, oh, Dan, Daddy loves us, look, he's pushing us, and oh, everything is wonderful. But what I would do, I would stop pushing them, and I'd get behind this tree right here, and then they would get slower, and slower, and slower. Then I would look at Dave, and he'd look at Dan, and he'd go, where'd Daddy go? Oh, Daddy! Daddy! Oh, Dave! Daddy don't love us anymore! Oh! Did I go anywhere?
No.
No, I was still right there, but they just couldn't see me. And then when they got almost stopped, I'd jump out, and I'd go, Dave! Dan! And I'd push him, oh, Daddy! Well, isn't that the way it is with God with us sometimes? If we can see Him, everything is okay. And you know, we always see God best in the rearview mirror. Let me say that again. We always see God best after the fact, not before. Right. And that's for a reason, believe it or not. But anyways, you know, we always see God, and sometimes, you know, we can't see Him. And so, but anyways, Matthew 28, 19 and 20.
Amen.
But come and put your hand on her, and she will live. Jesus got up, went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind
him. I think Matthew 28, 19.
Am I wrong?
I'm so sorry.
You said Romans, didn't you?
No, Matthew.
I got Romans too, but Matthew's.
Yeah, that should be the Great Commission. The Great Commission verses.
Go ye therefore and all.
I'm so sorry.
Go therefore.
Oh, I got 9:19.
Go therefore and make disciples.
Yes, there you go.
Of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
So this is Jesus saying. And so Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Yeah. Now, a lot of Christians don't believe that. A lot of Christians do not believe that God is with them to the end of the world. Now, I have a question for you. Have you ever been to the end of the world before? I have. I've been to the end of the world a number of times. And when we go to and when we go into Romania, and then when we go to Bulgaria, we're going to go to a place where I was at the end of the world. And it was in 1999, I was coming out of Bulgaria, and I was preaching. It was on Pentecost Sunday. I was preaching in a church in Bulgaria, and I was leaving. And I was going, I was going to take a cab across the border into Romania, and then the cab to the auto pen, and I was going to fly out. Well, I got halfway across this bridge, and the cab driver said, get out. And I gave him 50 Deutschmarks, which was about $100. And I said, get out. And I said, what? He said, get out. And I said, okay. So I got my suitcase, and I walked down this bridge to the border. And I was traveling with my red official passport, Ted. Red official, we didn't have blue passports for us at that time. It had to be an official passport. Mm-hmm. And this four striper came out and he looked at me. And he said, passport. So I pulled out my passport and I handed it to him. And he looked at it and he said, wait. And I went, okay. So he went into his office and he came out and he looked at me. And as he was walking past me, he was looking at me. And if looks could kill, I would be a dead man, let me tell you. And he walked up this hill, and he walked up, and there was a building up on this hill, and this door opened up, or this window opened up, and I was standing there, and all of a sudden, I heard this guy getting beat. And I was counting the licks. Boom. Boom. I counted 29 licks. This one guy was being beat. And 29 times, and he beat him until the guy whimpered. Now, when you beat someone till they whimper, you've beaten them. The window closed, he came down, and he handed me my passport. And he said, here you go, sir. And I said, thank you, sir. I took my passport and left. Now, I want you to know I was at the end of the world, because that beating was for me. That guy up in that building, I'll go past that same building when we go through the border at Ruse, that's where it was, that building is still there. And that time, I know I was at the end of the world. I was going to get beat like that. That guy could have died, I don't know, but that man, whoever it was, took that beating for me. Wow. I've been in a number of places. I've been in airplane crashes, so forth and so on. I've been to the end of the world. But you know, I remember these words right here. As I was standing there, listening to this guy getting beat, all I could think of is Jesus' words. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Wow, even to the end of the world. That day, I learned a couple things, believe it or not. I learned that the Lord is really with me. I really learned that. Oh, I knew that. And I was traveling and doing all this stuff. But wait a minute. I really learned, no kidding. It was imprinted on my heart, it was imprinted in my mind that God is really with me. Because that was supposed to be me getting beat up there. But God was really, really with me.
Wow. Mm.
Unless we come to this place in God that we really believe that God is with us. Unless we come to this place in God, we will never have the courage and the faith to do what God wants us to do. You have your spirit open? Unless you come to that place and you understand and you really believe, no kidding, fish or cut bait, that God is really with you, you'll never have the courage to do and the faith to do that what God wants you to do. They say if you're not ready to die for God, then you're not ready to live for God. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go and get in trouble. Well, no. I mean, if you want to live for God and do what God wants you to do, then you have to be willing to die for God. Not too many Christians want to do that. Amen. I learned the faith for the future comes from the present day victories.
Wow.
The faith for the future that I will need in the future comes from present day victories. We must be able to see God in our daily living. Let me say that again. We must be able to see God in our day-to-day activities. No matter what is going on, we must be able to see God in our day-to-day activities. We must be able to see God take us from defeat to victory. We must be able to, see something that's bad, a bad situation or certain defeat in our life. We must be able to bring God, see God take us from defeat to victory. And I learned the faith to believe God for whatsoever He speaks to me, for my family and for my ministry, comes not from the power of God. Because is there any question about the power of God? God's power is unquestionable. There's never any question. So it's always a matter of our faith. But the power that comes from, I learned the faith that I need to believe for God whatsoever He speaks to me and for my family and for our ministry comes not from the power of God, but from the power that I have allowed God to work in my life. Wow. So if you've never allowed God to work anything into your life, then you have no power. The faith that we come, we have in our life to do things for God, they comes from the, not because God gives it to us. He gives us a measure of faith, but after that, I will promise you, everything we get from God is going to cost us something. Amen? Here are two great definitions of faith. Who has Esther 4:6? Esther 4:6.
4:6?
4:6. I'm sorry, 4:16.
Okay.
4:16. Mm-hmm.
Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day.
Okay, is that, if I perish, I perish? It may be in the King James.
It's the next one. Oh.
Okay.
I and my young women will also fast as you do.
Amen.
Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.
Wow. Now that's the definition of faith, right? If I perish, I perish. Mm-hmm. That you're putting your hands in God's hands. You're putting your life in God's hands. And if you perish, you perish. That's faith, I promise you. Who has Daniel 3:18?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Daniel 3:18.
Yep.
I had another passage.
Okay.
But if not, let it be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Wow. What a definition of faith. Wow. Wow. But if not, that's where miracles happen. That's where miracles happen.
Yeah.
But if not, I don't care what happened. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to serve you. I don't care if I die. I'm not going to serve you. No, that's faith. I was talking to somebody on email, and they were saying they need a miracle, and they wanted all of this stuff, and we were talking, and I took them to Daniel 3:18. And so the proving ground for miracles is, but if not. When God sees that we are willing to do whatever it takes, but if not, then that's where miracles can happen. Not in, Lord, give me this and give me that. It's when God can see our heart condition and that we want to go ahead and do that which He wants us to do more than anything else. But if not, be it known unto thee, ask Him, we shall not serve your God. Unless we allow God to work in our lives through His dealings and His judgments, even through bad experiences. Bad experiences. We don't like bad experiences, do we? You know, that verse Romans 8:28 says that God works, I'm going to say it in the Greek, God works all things for our good, for them that love the Lord. Even those things that we call bad experiences, even those things that we don't like, even those things that we think is going to destroy us. But if not, if I perish, I perish. All of those bad things that happen in our life, wow, God will take those bad things and He will work them for our good. He will take all things, and He will work them for our good. We don't like bad experiences. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I like bad things, but I will promise you, bad things are coming our way. Bad experiences are coming our way. We will have bad experiences in our life, but God will take those bad things and He will work them for our good. No matter what that bad experience is, God will work that for our good when it's all said and done. Wow. We will not have any power in our lives unless we allow God to work in our life through His dealings and His judgments. No power. Power doesn't come from God says, well, okay, you know, there's Greg, and let me get out my magic wand here, and I'm going to pop Greg on the head. Presto changeo. He's got power, and he's got this. No. God doesn't do that. No. God allows things to happen into our life. He brings even bad things into our life. And then we develop that faith. We develop those things into our life. We will not have any power in our life to endure life. I promise you, we won't. The power of God in our life comes from the work of God in our life. Wow. Who has Ephesians 2:10?
For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
For good works, which God beforehand ordained that we should walk in them.
Wow. We are His workmanship.
Yes.
Not the church. Not the denominations. Mm-mm. Not this home group meeting. That's not the work of God. All of that is more the product of God working in our lives. But we are His workmanship. That word workmanship in German is Baustelle. I always like that word. I don't know why. But we are God's Baustelle. We are God's workmanship. And we have been created to good works. God wants us to do good works. But we are His workmanship. He gets to work on us. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? And the more that God can work on us, the more God can use us. The more that we allow God free reign into our life, the more bad experiences come into our life, and then we allow God to go ahead and work those into good things. The more God can work in us, and the more God can use us. Because if God does not work in our life, He will not be able to use us. Amen? Wow. The power of God comes from the work of God in us. Not the church, not the denomination, but in our heart, in our life. And guess what? it can hurt. The work of God can hurt. And I will promise you, if you walk with the Lord any time, when God begins to work in your life, when God begins to bring things into your life, when God begins to work into your life, it will hurt, hurt, hurt. But that's a hurt that is good. Who has Romans 9, 20 and 21?
I've got it.
Okay. Romans 9, 20 and 21.
But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use?
Wow. Did you hear that? The lump of clay. The lump of clay was thinking there, and he was thinking, and he was going to talk to the potter, Randy. The clay doesn't get to talk to the potter. The clay doesn't get to talk to the potter. The clay only has one thing to do in life, believe it or not. And I'm going to show you what the clay does. So we have this thing called life, and it's the wheel of life, and God will take some clay. That's us. And here, slap it down on that wheel of life. And then here, put his foot on that wheel. Here, start spinning that clay. And he gets some water on his hands, and he starts forming and fashioning that clay into a vessel. And he goes, well, no, I don't like what I'm making. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to crush it. He crushes it. And there's a board called a wedging board. And God will take that clay that he breaks down, he throws it on the wedging board, and you got to throw it down there, and you begin to knead that clay. You get to work out all the impurities. You get to work out all of that rough stuff that's in there. And then here, get it with some water and form it again, put it back on there, start spinning it around, and he starts fashioning it. Because the Bible says that God fashioned some vessels for honor, and he fashioned some vessels for dishonor. Wow. But this is all the clay gets to do. That's it. That's it. That's all you get to do. You can't talk back to the potter. Oh, no, I want this, and the potter, no. All the clay gets to do is go around on the wheel of life and let God fashion them and make them and create in them. That's all the clay gets to do. The clay just goes around and God just forms it and he makes it. And all of those things that God brings into that clay's life, he gets to fashion that. Wow. If you read the news, you will know that tough days for us are coming. Amen? Amen. As I was thinking about sharing this today, the Lord brought me to Romans 8, 35 and 39. So let's go ahead and go to Romans 8. Romans 8, 5 and 39. Amen. I think I have another thought here, so I don't get this. Amen. Romans 8. 35 and 39. Who? Now notice the Bible says who. This is King James, but it says who. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Wow, you ever thought about that? Mm-hmm. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Or persecution or famine? Or nakedness or peril or sword? Wow. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. Can you imagine that? We're killed all day long. We are counted as sheep before the slaughter. Whew, wow. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Did you read that? Wow, now wait a minute. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Sheep being slaughtered. And all of these things were more than conquerors. Wow. Why? Because God is with us. God is with us. through him that loved us. And Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, wow, death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, and that be demonic or angelic, angels, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, not any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Wow. None of those things that I just read, things that we're afraid of, things that we're scared of, nakedness and the sword and famine and all of these things, none of that stuff can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. None of those things will move you, I promise you, when you come to a place when you're convinced that you're persuaded, as Paul was persuaded, that God was with him. I said this when I started, that most Christians are not there. Most Christians have never had an experience with God to where they're going to be convinced that no matter what happens in their life, no matter what they go through, that nothing will be able to move them out of God. Persecution, tribulation, famine, sword, that's what it takes, believe it or not, is to come to some areas in your life to where you will be convinced. Nothing, not death, nor famine, or persecution, or prison, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God if we honestly believe that God is with us and that he loves us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.